Hi, this is What the Faux Travel Podcast. This episode is all about budgeting with the budgeteers.
Welcome along, guys, to another mini episode. Now, we've got loads of ideas for future mini episodes, different topics to talk about. But we want to ask you guys before we start this one, if you've got any ideas for topics of mini episodes we should do, then get in touch and let us know.
Yeah, definitely. You can get in touch with us on Facebook, on Instagram, on email, and on Twitter too. Okay, so this episode, like I said, is all about budgeting with the budgeteers, who we will be speaking to very shortly in an interview. But Nick, let's talk about traveling and budgeting in general, because when you tell someone that you're going traveling, they go, oh God, I'm so jealous, I wish I could go traveling. And then you're like, well, go then. But they always give that one excuse, which is,
I don't have any money.
So we're solving all of your problems. You don't always need massive amounts of money, do you, to go travelling?
No, there's different things you can do depending on your budget. If, you know, some people have an endless budget and you can do luxury trips all over the place. But this episode we're going to show you, no matter what your budget is, you can go travelling.
So we're going to be talking to the budgeteers, which is three different people who have come together to make an awesome YouTube channel called The Budgeteers. So there's two guys and a girl. There's Paddy, Tyze and Lena. And they're all different nationalities, which makes it extra exciting, doesn't it? So you've got Paddy, who is English, Tyze, who is from Belgium.
What's that called if someone's from Belgium?
Belgianese.
Belgian?
Belgian, I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay,
simple. I think so. Or is it one of those weird countries where it's a completely different word?
See, I've heard of Flemish. Is that part of the language?
Yeah.
I think half of it's Dutch, half of it's French. Are you a Flem? If you're from if you're from Belgium.
I'm going to look this up, one sec. You're supposed to call them Belgian. However, Flemish people from Belgium usually like to be identified that way. I don't know what the difference is.
He's from Belgium.
Tyze is from Belgium. And the third one is Lena, who is from Colombia and also America. So she's on a dual passport, which is really cool. So we have binge watched two of their series on YouTube and we were just so inspired by these guys, weren't we?
Yeah, really inspired. It's such a good channel. I know it's different from other travel channels because, yeah, they've got a really cool, you know, aim. The goal is, you know, how far can we get on X amount of money? And it's really interesting to see the stuff they can do and how far they can stretch their budget.
So we spoke to Paddy only because at the moment they're in three different continents and it was just way too difficult to set anything else up. But we would love to get all three of them in the studio at some point if they're all in the same country as us. But we spoke to Paddy and of course it wouldn't be What the Faux Travel Podcast if we didn't include a game into this. During the interview, we play a game called Cheese and Onion Crisps. That's all I'm going to say. It's Paddy's idea and it's brilliant. We started by asking him if he could tell us about the channel.
We are the Budgeteers. It's three people now. I'm Paddy. I'm the English idiot from the show. And then there's Tyze, who is the tall, handsome devil from Belgium. And then we have Lena, who's our newest recruit. And she's half Colombian, half American. And she was our savior in series two because she spoke Spanish and she was an absolute legend. So, yeah, we're three travelers who sort of go off on these crazy adventures and we don't take much money with us and we just try to show people, you know, what it's like to go off the beaten track and to sort of travel in a bit of an adventurous and unique way and kind of relying on the locals to help us out along the way in terms of hitchhiking and couch surfing and doing whatever we can to save our money that we would normally just waste on things like long bus journeys that wouldn't really show us much of the country or staying in hotels where we would just get stuck in the lounge on Wi-Fi. You know, we're actually getting stuck in with the locals and trying all the foods and having a blast. And the money that we save on things like that, we try and spend on activities, but most of the time we just get pissed.
Yeah, that's true, you do. But the idea is you try to get as far as you can on $1,000 each. Is it US dollars or American dollars?
So the first series was Australian dollars, yeah. Because we were living in Australia at the time. The second series was US because we were flying into the US.
So yeah, what made you want to start a channel about budget travelling?
Well, we didn't have much money, so that was kind of one of the reasons. Like, we would love to have gone and like made a luxury YouTube channel, but the fact is we don't have the money. And most people like us, me and Tyres being the guys who started at the beginning, we were working in Australia, and we didn't save much money because we were working on a farm doing our regional work, and the weather was so unpredictable. So the farms were just, the work was very quite seldom. Sometimes we'd be loaded and we'd have like, you know, we'd get nearly $1,500 in a week's pay, and then we wouldn't work for 24 days in a row because it was raining or it was too hot or whatever. So by the end of the farming, we didn't have much money. So we were like, well, what should we do? And we'd come up with this cool idea to go make a YouTube channel because we were so creative and like bursting with energy and ideas, but we were stuck in this boring job putting fruit into boxes. And so when we came up with the Budgeteers, which by the way is the worst name ever, in fact, like I remember when like we were on the conveyor belt and we were putting capsicums or red peppers into these boxes in Australia, and the idea was just starting to develop one morning, and me and Tyres were getting really excited, and I said, oh, we'll call it like the Budgeteers or something, but obviously we'll think of a much better name than that. When we got back to the hostel, somehow Chinese whispers, we got back to the hostel, there's 150 other backpackers living and working there. They were like, oh, we heard about your Budgeteers thing, that sounds amazing. And we were like, oh no, it's stuck.
Okay, nice. Cool.
So traveling on $1,000, well, a whole trip on $1,000, was it harder than you thought?
Massively, massively harder than I thought. Especially, you actually see it in the show, you see the stresses of trying to figure out if this money is going to last, especially when things go wrong. Like when we were in La Paz at the bottom of the Baja Peninsula, I thought we could just get a cheap overnight ferry, but it turns out they were like $75, $80 each. And so we ended up just getting a flight. And once we spent $250 on a flight to go from La Paz to Guadalajara, we started looking at our budget and we were like, okay, if the money keeps going like this, we're going to run out in 3 weeks. And we really wanted to get to Panama. And it wasn't just about going as far as you can go on the money. It's about having as much fun as you can on this money. But we really wanted to go to as many countries as possible. And so we only skipped Belize because we heard that that was going to be pretty expensive. Plus, we were in Guatemala, we got stuck, and people were coming up to us saying, oh, this is a really dangerous area, and we got like turned back, and the police told us to not hitchhike on this road because of gangs and problems with kidnappings and stuff like that. It quite scared us. So with the money, we decided just to go to, I don't think it was, El Salvador instead. But we made it all the way to Panama. And when, honestly, at the end, when we ran out of money in Bocas del Toro and we went to that bar, what's it called? Aqua Lounge. We were so impressed with ourselves that we'd made it last that long. So throughout the entire trip, money was definitely something we were stressing about. But yeah, we to answer your question, it was much harder than we thought. But we were really chuffed we got there in the end.
Yeah, no, you guys done really well. So had you actually hitchhiked before, so before Series 1, when you were going around Southeast Asia, had you ever kind of practiced hitchhiking before?
I'd done bits and pieces, like, you know, when you're just like drunk on the side of the road and you don't have any way of getting home and all the taxis are...
No, I don't know what you mean.
I don't know.
Or like, you know, just sometimes you find yourself in situations where you're like, oh my God, I really need someone to help me out here. And you just stand on the side of the road. But Tyres had hitchhiked around New Zealand before and absolutely told me that it was really safe. I don't think Lena had hitchhiked before. I might be wrong. But for sure, when we first hitchhiked in Series 1 after we left Kuala Lumpur and we started hitchhiking on the highway, that's when it sunk in. I was like, okay, this is a new experience, just standing on the side of the road in the middle of this heat.
Yeah.
Trying to get a ride from random people in Malaysia. But as you'll see, if you watch the show, it is an incredible way to get around.
Yeah, you guys done so well. Like you said, your trip relied heavily on the kindness of locals. And we can believe whenever we're watching an episode, you say, oh yeah, so-and-so picked us up. They then invited us back to their house and cooked us dinner and did all this. And we're thinking like, but you guys, you got that a lot. That wasn't a rare thing, was it?
Yeah, I know. And people comment in our videos going, oh, like, is this real? Who is this set up? It's like, no, of course it's not set up. I think one of the things about the show is, like, we really do showcase how nice strangers can be in foreign countries to foreigners. And, I mean, I was there and I, you know, helped edit, put it together, uploaded it, whatever. And when I watched them back, I'm like, I can't believe how nice these people were to us. It's almost like it was scripted or it was pre-planned to look like a... you know, a love letter to the people of Malaysia or Indonesia or Thailand or Costa Rica or whatever country we were in. But consistently, the people of the countries we were visiting looked after us without us asking. You know, it wasn't like, oh, thanks for picking us up, and oh, we don't know where we're going to stay tonight, and we're a bit scared, and also we're a little bit hungry. You know, we didn't guilt trip anyone into helping us do anything. They'd be like, hey, get in. Are you hungry? I've got some tacos. Oh, what are you doing tonight? Oh, there's a hurricane. Oh, well, they're staying at my house. It's fine. We'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And then, oh, do you want breakfast? And where are you going tomorrow? And here's some beers. You know, I think people just want to look after people. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not an exact science. You know, I'm sure there are places where, and people who would take advantage of you, whatever, but in our experience, we had, apart from one crazy driver in Mexico where we were like, okay, he's driving way too fast, and we decided to get out, 99.9% of the people who picked us up and hosted us were incredible, and their love and their like passion to just be nice to people was so inspiring and awesome to realize that this is a thing. You know, you watch the news and the media, oh, it's dangerous and scary out there, and make sure you go and organize tours if you want to stay safe. Yeah, do that, but get off the road, get off the beaten track, and I'm sure you'll have a fantastic time. And if you don't believe it, watch the show.
Yeah, definitely. And all of that really comes over in the show, like just the kindness of everyone. And another thing that comes over is how much we want tacos when we watch it. We'd never crave tacos so much in our
Mexico
lives.
Mexico looked amazing.
It really did.
I regret not spending more time in Mexico, as well as does Tyres and Lena. But my God, those tacos. I'm telling you.
Yes.
I think as far as food goes, like, I'm a massive foodie. When I travel, and I only live and work in countries, so the food is incredible, right? So I've lived in India, I've lived in Thailand, and the food there is next level. And I think Mexico's up there. Like a good curry, a good masaman, and a taco, you're good for life. Honestly, I could easily live in Mexico. It's next level. The food is just unbelievable. There's fish tacos. Honestly, when I watch it back, I'm like, oh God, I need a taco. So I know how you feel.
You sound like us. Like, the main reason why we traveled to India was purely because of curry. We thought, we love the food, let's go, let's check it out. And it's ended up being our favourite country. So
the curries are so different out there, aren't they?
Yeah.
You ask for chicken tikka masala, they're like, what do you want? A chicken tikka masala? I don't know what this is. And you're like, okay, never mind. I'll just have that thing over there. And then it turns out to be even better.
Banging accent, by the way.
Yeah, that's my impression of an Indian person, guys. I was shaking my head and everything, but you wouldn't like see that.
Nice.
Indian shake. Right, so just briefly going back to the hitchhiking, because you were filming your whole experience, do you think that kept you, Tyres and Lena, safer? Because maybe a driver thought, you know, I'm not going to do anything because I'm on film. Do you think that helps?
I actually think having a camera would deter people from picking us up, because they'd be like, what are these dodgy guys doing? Why have they got a camera? Because when someone's driving down the road, they have a very short space of time to make a decision, to look at you, figure you out, and decide if they're going to stop and pull over and pick you up. And if they see three backpackers on the side of the road dancing around like idiots with a camera, I'd be like, what the hell are those guys up to? And I'd probably be less likely to pick someone up who was just generally standing there with a sign and their thumb out with a big smile. Because we got loads of rides pick us up when we were literally with the camera out. As you see on the show, that we capture loads of the rides picking us up in real time, which is always gold footage. And I always like love it when that happens. But in my mind, I thought it would hinder us. But in reality, I think people who are going to pick you up, they're going to pick you up regardless. I think nice people just, and people who pick up hitchhikers in general, are just up for it anyway, because they're probably going somewhere quite far and they want some company in the car, or they just want to, they're like, oh, look at these guys, what are they doing? I'll pick you up. So I thought it would hinder us, but no, in reality, I think it didn't really.
Cool.
But it's hard to say, it's hard to tell.
So in series two, I think we mentioned it earlier, Lena joined the crew because she could speak Spanish and you were traveling Central America. So are there going to be any surprise guests for series three?
I don't know. I think with hitchhiking and the style of travel that we do, I think three is the maximum number, because any more than three, you're really struggling to get into a car with all your bags, your camera gear, you know, three in the back. You've got room for one more person in the front, but it's very rare that you can get four in a car. Four is just like, you know, one bloke on the side of the road with a sign, two people on the road with a sign, three people dancing around with a camera. That's pretty much the limit of most people's like ability to pick you up. So for logistic reasons, I just don't see us going more than three.
Just very quickly, I know I asked you about Lena joined series two because she spoke Spanish, but you think it will still be the three of you? And have you decided where series three is going to be?
Well, listen, I didn't just invite Lena into the show because she spoke Spanish. She was a really good friend of mine. And I knew she could budgeteer. And what I mean by that is I knew she could hitchhike on the side of the road. She'd pack light. I knew the kind of personality she had and that she'd be really funny, outgoing. And she wouldn't stress about not having a wash for more than a day or whinge about, you know, little things, you know, like diva things. I knew she wasn't a diva. I knew there's not many girls that I know who could do what she did. And I was a diva compared to her. You know, she just got up every morning and dealt with it. And that's why I invited her. The Spanish thing was like a bonus. Don't get me wrong. And Alina, if you're listening, I miss you because she's in Hanoi right now. So, yes, she is massively part of the show going forward. She is a budgeteer. She's incorporated in the logo. She's as much of a budgeteer as me and Ty. Just because we came up with it first doesn't mean that she's not a bigger, you know, an equal part of the show. She goes out and does loads of stuff behind the scenes. Like right now, she's applying and emailing embassies. We're trying to work with a few tourist boards, trying to get things moving forward in a direction for a season three. That might surprise a few people. I don't want to give too much away because nothing is set in stone. And you know what it's like on the internet, if you say, oh, I'm gonna go here, and then you don't, people will be like, oh, I thought you were gonna go there. But I will say that we're looking at the Middle East at the moment.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't want to say the name of any particular country because visa situations are quite difficult, especially with Lena at the moment and her dodgy Colombian and US passport. Obviously, I'm on a British passport, I can go anywhere. I'm joking. Not long if they keep doing what they're doing.
True.
Europe, the Middle East, or Central Asia, I'd say, are the best bets. But, you know, watch this space because we still don't really know.
Exciting stuff. So you covered this a little bit on your one of your series. I think it was the second series. Do you prefer budgeteering or just sort of standard backpacking without a budget? Like, what are the pros and cons?
Oh, God. Budgeteering is the best thing I've ever done. And I like the way that that's now a word, budgeteering, because, like, I've heard other people say stuff like, I've watched other YouTube channels and they're like, you know, I know they've watched the show and I subscribe to them and I watch their stuff, and they'll say stuff like, oh, well, it's a bit more expensive than we thought, but we'll just budgeteer it. It'll be fine. And I think that mindset, that word connects to that mindset of traveling on the cheap, but still having a really good time. And, you know, I'm traveling right now. So I'm in Thailand. I'm on holiday. I'm in the south enjoying Songkran. And then I'm going to go to Bangkok and Chiang Mai and Pai. And then I'm going to come back and I might go to Malaysia. I'm technically backpacking in inverted commas because I have a backpack and I'm in Asia. But in my real out of the show, like life, travel life, I kind of mix it. I don't necessarily hitchhike, especially at the minute because I'm with a girl. She likes the show, but she's not really up for, you know, hitchhiking, which is fair enough because it's not really for everyone. So in my personal life, I mix up the two. But in terms of which I think is better, I think if you're listening to this and you've been backpacking for 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5 years on and off, you've had about 4 or 5 trips under your belt and you're finding it a little bit samey, not in terms of the destinations, but in terms of, like, you get off the flight, you go to the hostel, you meet the same kind of people, you do the same kind of things, but you're in a new place. And if you find yourself thinking, oh, is there something I'm missing because I'm not feeling like I'm having an adventure, then try budgeteering. Because that's what one of the reasons we started the show is because me and Ty's were kind of bored with the, you know, okay, get off the night train and then someone's going to pick you up and then you've got the blue sticker to get off at the island for the blue sticker, and you know, you feel like you are having an adventure, but I just feel like sometimes there's more out there. So budgeteering is the option if you do want to have a little bit more of an adventure, and if you do want to sort of get off the beaten track, meet the real locals, eat the real food. But in terms of, yeah, every single day for the rest of my life, I think I'll probably get a little bit tired of hitchhiking. You know, get me on a first class flight, please. But I'm not going to pay for it.
Nice. We've got one more question for you before we're going to play a game.
Okay. Oh, what a tease.
Okay, cool. I love games.
Okay, so yeah, final question.
Is it chicken and onion crisps?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Don't know what you're talking about there, Paddy.
Yes, what are your top 3 tips on anyone who wants to be a budgeteer, you know, travel in your style?
Okay, be safe. Don't be an idiot. Don't hitchhike at night. Don't think you can just stand on the side of the road and people are going to stop for you. So make sure you're thinking it through. I actually bumped into people who were in hostels in Bangkok asking the people at the reception to write them a sign in Thai so they could go hitchhike because they'd seen the show, and I was like standing right behind them and I was like, guys, it's me from the Budgeteers, and they're like, oh my god. And they were going to go out hitchhiking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon from Koh San Road trying to get to Krabi, which is like 1,000 miles away, And they just didn't think it through. So I told them, that, you know, go back, relax, have a beer, and go at 9 o'clock in the morning, be at a gas station on the outside of the city, and stand next to a big gas station with shade, toilets, water. Some people just think you can stand on the side of the road and it doesn't matter and you'll get to where you want to go. So first thing is be safe. Don't hitchhike at night. Think about where you're going to be hitchhiking from. And also, if you're a girl, I wouldn't hitchhike at night. I think that's just a general piece of knowledge. Be smart, use your brain, and be safe. Second thing is probably be prepared to be hungry. Because unlike in Southeast Asia, where there's food everywhere, on every corner of every street, everywhere, there are certain parts of the world where you can only really eat food if it's in a restaurant or in a town. And Thais and Lena really struggle sometimes with their hunger because we'd be hitchhiking in places and we wouldn't eat for 12 hours and they like their food. So take food with you. Have a bag with snacks, like nuts are really good ones, crisps, bottles of water, a few cans of beer, and just sort of be prepared that you might be 12 hours between a meal, just because that's the reality of hitchhiking. Sometimes you just get lost, or you get on a ride and he's going for ages and you won't stop, and you don't want to tell someone to pull over just so you can grab a little sandwich. So take some food with you, be safe. And the third thing is document your experience like we did. I think that's a good thing in general for all kinds of travel. You don't have to vlog or make a massive YouTube channel show about it like we've done. You can just sort of take pictures and, yeah, just talk to as many people as you can and try and take nice videos or pictures. And that, you know, the best way to look back at travel is through pictures and videos. I have on my personal YouTube channel so many videos of little interactions I had with people in India, people in Malaysia, all over the world, really. Little things that I look back on. And these are the people that you meet off the beaten track when you're budgeteering. You know, local people. Even if they're not speaking English and you don't understand a word that's going on, just film it. You know, everyone loves a selfie. And those moments are kind of just golden. And for me, one of the highlights of traveling is just when you share a beer with a stranger, or, you know, a bowl of rice with someone in a field in the middle of nowhere, like those kind of things. And sometimes I didn't have my camera, or I didn't take a picture or film it. And I kind of know that those memories have almost gone out of my mind because they were so long ago and my mind's like a sieve. So be safe, be prepared to be hungry, and take plenty of pictures along the way and memories to last forever.
Very good.
Perfect. So, yes. You're right. We want to play the cheese and onion game.
I got it. Cheese and onion, Chris.
Well, I think the best person to explain what this game is. Do you want to tell us all the rules of the game?
All right. Okay. So basically, I came up with this game when I was in India. I was driving around India on a motorbike, and someone stole my iPod. Okay. So I had no internet, no music. I was going out of my mind. So I came up with this game that I played with myself. Right, which is called Cheese and Onion Crisps Are the Best. And, like, I only told my sister and, like, two friends of mine this in my entire life until we decided to put it on the YouTube channel. Basically, you just sing a song, any song you can think of, and you have to replace the words and the rhythm and the melody of the song with the words cheese and onion crisps are the best. And you can say in the world as well. So, for example, and I did this in the show, but this isn't a really easy one to do an example, like Wonderwall Oasis. Cheese and onion crisps are the best in the world. Cheese and onion crisps. Yeah, you get it? It sounds dumb, but it's the funniest game when you're on the side of the road and you're bored out your mind and you've got nothing to do.
Well, you sound quite good when you're singing. I am tone deaf, so good luck with this one. Okay, well, we're going to play a round each. Do you want to start?
No. Please go for it. Go first.
Oh, no, this is pressure. So, by the way, me and Nick, we don't know each other's songs.
Yeah. So first one to guess what I'm singing, okay, wins. Okay, are you ready? Cheese and onion crisps are the best in the world. Cheese and onion crisps are the best. Cheese and onion crisps are the best.
I have no idea.
Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen.
Very good. Well done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was pretty good. Okay.
You picked the hardest part of the song as well, mate. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I didn't really think about which part to pick, actually. I just thought I'll start at the beginning. But yeah, that was hard. It was challenging.
Yes, I'm so glad I got that.
Okay, right. So Paddy's winning so far. Okay, this is my one. And I'm tone deaf. I apologise to everyone. Cheese and onion crisps are the best in
Lady Gaga.
Yes.
What's the song? Romance?
Cheese and onion crisps are the best crisps. Cheese and onion crisps are the best crisps in the world. Yeah, it's Bad Romance, right?
That's it.
Nice. Okay, Paddy, it's your turn.
She missed a beat with those lyrics. She should have called it Cheese and Onion Crisps. Okay, let me. I'm just looking on my Spotify to my like recently played songs so that I can kind of get inspiration because I've done the same ones over and over. So I think I need to do someone new. Let me think. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, God, the pressure's on. I'm so nervous playing my own game. All right. Cheese and onion crisps are the best. Cheese and onion crisps are the best. Cheese and onion crisps are the best in the world, yeah.
Oh, cheese and do you really
crisps love after love?
Dun, dun,
yes.
Dun.
Oh, Cher. Is that Cher?
Onion crisps are the best in the world. Cheese and onion crisps are the best in the world, yeah. Oh, my God. That was so bad. You got it.
That's funny.
Very good. Now, at first, we're looking at each other thinking, what the fuck is he on about? Very good. Yes. Well done.
Very high pitched one, you know. I chose Cher foolishly. I should have done something a bit more in my tone because, you know, I'm trying to show off my voice. I'm trying to become famous.
Yeah, well, you done well. We put you on the spot.
Can I just show you something? Well, I can't show you because you're. But I'll play you something. Right. So one of our fans sent us a video of them doing a cheese and onion one, asking us if we could get it.
Okay.
Oh and my God.
You have to listen to it. It's unbelievably funny. Okay. Hang on. Let me just find it. This guy sent us this one. It was so good. So good.
Cheese and onion. Crimps are the best in the world. Cheese and onion.
That's amazing.
The second one is.
How sweet is it?
Cheese and onion crisps are the best in the world. Cheese and onion crisps are the best in the world.
Oh my God.
Green Day.
You guys are awesome. Keep doing your budgeteering.
That was so good.
Very good.
So, Paddy, seriously, thank you so much for having a chat with us. So, where can we find you?
You can find us on YouTube, The Budgeteers, or just search How to Travel Southeast Asia on $1,000 or How to Travel Central America on $1,000. Really long twang twister names there, but The Budgeteers, we're on YouTube. And then we're on Instagram, The Budgeteers, and Facebook, The Budgeteers. And that's where we post stuff like behind the scenes, news, what's happening with series 3, things like that, fun stuff as well, but also what we're traveling, where we're traveling and what we're up to at the moment. But yeah, just head over to the channel, watch the show and have a laugh. The nine episodes in each series, and they're like 25 to 35 minute long, so it's like a proper show. So treat it like a Netflix show or something, you know. It's not just something that you can willy-nilly watch for 5 minutes. It's something that you need to sit down and crack open a beer and have a laugh and a giggle and watch us try to hitchhike and travel through parts of the world. But yeah, ups and downs, but yeah, it's a good adventure, so you'll enjoy it hopefully.
Yeah, and it really is. I mean, we'd recommend it. We were looking forward to doing this interview because we genuinely are fans of the channel. It's we've really, really enjoyed watching it.
Thanks guys. No, I really appreciate it, and good luck with the rest of the podcast series, and you never know, maybe we'll be at your meeting on the 1st of July in London.
Yeah, if you can. Well, next time we're in the UK, hopefully you know, we can get in the studio and do a proper episode.
Yeah, oh my God, that would be awesome. Me, Tyz and Lena having a laugh with you guys. And yeah, good luck, man, and enjoy the rest of the summer. Ciao!
So that is another mini episode done for this month. I'm sure you guys will agree. A really fun interview there with Paddy. And I hope you guys learnt a lot about the possibilities of travelling on a tight budget.
If that's something you want to do after listening to this, then definitely get in touch, let us know, and make sure you watch The Budgeteers on YouTube. We will see you in 2 weeks with another episode.
Don't forget, you guys can get in touch with the show. You can send us an email. Our address is whatthefopodcast@gmail.com. Faux is spelled P-H-O. On Twitter, we are @faupodcast. Also, check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well. With all this social media, this podcast doesn't just come in your ears. We also come in your eyes. Lads, 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 lads.